glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to dismiss our children to Children's Church at this time. I'd like to turn your attention to Proverbs 25. This morning, in the gifts of the Spirit, the Lord told us that He was going to heal our bodies. Yes. Amen. Now, He said it. All we have to have is enough confidence to believe what He said. We have to have enough faith to believe that God's going to do something, not next week Sunday, not Wednesday, but tonight. And I anticipate that God is going to do something tonight. Proverbs 25 and verse number 19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. So confidence in an unfaithful person is like, boy, what is this pounding in my mouth? I cannot walk. Ephesians 3 and 12. I want to lay a foundation here. Chapter 3, verse number 12, in whom we have boldness and access, how? With confidence by the faith of Him. So the way we have access is through boldness, confidence, and faith in Him. Anybody have any faith in here tonight? Anybody have any confidence that God can do some things? You know, over the years, there have been some disappointments in my life, and then immediately, I lose confidence. You can do that in yourself. But I don't care what happens to you right now. You should have enough confidence in God because He's the victor. Then in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 6, but Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And then verse number 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. I believe He's going to do it. I believe He's going to do it. I believe what He said. I believe what the Word of God says. And then Hebrews 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You said, if I came to the throne, You said if I came and worship You, You said if I obeyed Your commandments, that You would receive the reward of Your confidence. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of our souls. I'm not drawn back. I don't care if it didn't happen today or yesterday or 3 weeks ago. I believe it's still going to happen because God has given me a promise. Lord, we ask Your blessing upon the Word of God tonight. Lord, that You would allow an anointing upon it, oh God, that it would affect each and every one of us deep down in our soul, that it would become a part of us and stir something within us, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to need some help in preaching this message tonight. I really feel like God is going to do something here tonight. I just don't want it to be another Sunday night and then we leave here and go to Culver's or whatever and then go on with life. I want this to be a service that is life-changing, that'll change you, that something will happen to you during the preaching of this message that you'll never, ever forget. It's not necessarily just the content of what is preached, but there is a demonstration of God's Spirit that moves with the preaching of God's Word. Tonight, during the preaching of this message, I want you to think about what you want from God the most. What is it that if God would stand before you tonight, you say, now this is what I really want. I want my children to come back to God. I want, God, you to finally heal me or deliver me. Oh, God, help me with this job or finances or my marriage. Let it be restored, or my family, God. That during the message that you receive enough faith and you receive enough confidence that you can receive your reward. God wants to do something, and if you can demonstrate that kind of confidence, if you can demonstrate, not me, but you can demonstrate that kind of confidence and faith, if you feel that faith come over you during the preaching, don't wait for the altar call. You just come right up here, and I believe that God is going to take care of your situation right now. Right now. But remember, you have to do that. Amen. It's not the preacher. It's not the person next to you. It's not somebody who will, you know, persuade you to do it. It's got to be something that stirs within you that says, this is the time, God. I feel the faith coming on me. I feel the confidence that something is going to happen right now. In Hebrews 10 and 35, it says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense or reward. Because you have a confidence and a faith in God, there is a reward that we will receive. So how is your confidence in God doing tonight? That you have to answer for yourself. It's easy to be confident in God and His promises when everything is well, going very well for you, you know? God has done something for you recently, but what if you go through a series of events that aren't so good? Will you cast away your confidence in God and say, well, God just isn't going to do it? You see, what we understand is God is capable. There's nothing too hard for Him. He can take care of anything, and He doesn't have to wait for the doctor to diagnose it. He doesn't have to wait for a procedure. He doesn't have to wait for a specialist in order to do it, but He can do it. The question is, why hasn't He? And could I be a part of the equation that I don't have enough confidence in what God is going to do, or enough faith to believe that He can do it right now? Brother Portman preached a message not too long ago, and it basically said we have confidence in the past and we have confidence in the future, but do we have enough confidence for God to do something right now, tonight, in this place? God said there is great reward in keeping the confidence and the faith that we have in Him. Our adversary knows that he has no power over the Holy Ghost-filled state. Jesus declared in Luke 10 and 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. If we don't believe this, it is a good sign that we have already cast away our confidence, or now all of a sudden we have to have new faith, new confidence. And of course, preaching of the Word of God comes to us in a form of faith. Without the preaching of the Word, there is no faith. But understanding that we have this power, the only thing the adversary can do, now hear me, is to try to wear you out, wear you down, cause you to give up and walk away from God because of disappointments and because of unfulfilled promises that you haven't seen in your life. All of a sudden, you get weary, you get a little down. And somehow, the preaching of God's Word has got to lift you up and build up your faith to the point where you say, I believe you, Jesus. I believe it's going to happen. Daniel prophesied that this would happen in the last days. If you'll turn to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and to think to change times and laws. What is happening to us today? It seems like the saints are worn out. It seems like we're tired all of the time. It seems like there aren't any traditional times or times that are set out in order to serve our God like we did years ago. There are more churches who are having less church because of the end times. They're changing the times. They're changing the protocol of church services. The enemy's goal is to wear you out. How is he doing that? He's taking more and more of your energy, more and more of your time. Are you running more and accomplishing less? Are you losing your focus of God? Have you started questioning God about things going wrong in your life? If so, perhaps you have cast away your confidence and your faith is low. The Apostle Paul was worried about this issue with saints, and he preached about it. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 3, it says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You know, the first thing that happened in the garden was the devil saying, "Did God say, are these things really necessary? Do you really have to abide by what he said?" But there's a simplicity of Christ, and sometimes in the end time, and we're living in those end times, we can be beguiled just like Eve was deceived. The enemy will deceive us if we give him a chance. The enemy wants to wear us out by the things that we have to deal with. He knows that when we get tired and fed up, we can't think right. We say things we shouldn't say when we get tired and fed up and worn out. Thoughts that were never in our minds now appear in our minds because we're tired. And when we get tired, it's hard to get to church. And when we get tired, it's hard to read the Bible. And when we get tired, we say, "How in the world could I go to a Bible study or teach a Bible study?" It puts questions in our mind about our confidence in God. But Daniel 11 and 3 says, "The people that do know their God shall be strong and do great exploits." The people who know God, people who are in contact with God, they're strengthened. I preached last week, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." Hallelujah. Wait upon God. Don't wait upon this world. Don't wait upon getting this. You know, the problem is we demand too much stuff. Amen. And so we forfeit our right to have more of God in our life, and we have more stuff in our life. And the more stuff we have, the more we are in bondage to the stuff rather than God. Amen. Amen. I remember somebody saying years ago, I always wanted one of these swings, these gliders in my backyard. And I finally sacrificed in order to buy it, you know. But then I realized that every year I had to oil that thing. You know, every year I had to had to check the bolts and make sure that they were tightened. And every year I had to either put another coat of varnish on it, or I'd have to strip the paint. And instead of having the swing had me. We got a lot of things in our life that have captured us rather than we having them. Amen. And one day we're going to be gone and all these things are going to be rusted, and they're just going to crumble. There's nothing going to be left here. Why put all of the effort into the things that have no value, have no future at all? Amen. Glory to God. But Isaiah 61:3 tells us that God will give to us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God will give us praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That God wants to exchange some of those things of heaviness and the things that bring sorrow to our life to joy. We don't have to walk around defeated. We have the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Turn to your favorite book in the Bible, Habakkuk. Glory to God. Habakkuk chapter 3. Aren't you glad you brought your Bible tonight? Chapter 3, verse number 17, it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Even though things are going wrong, we're talking about hinds' feet. It's like the sheep up in the mountains, they can stand on rocks like you wouldn't believe anybody could possibly. We're standing when everybody else thinks that we're going to fall. But God has given us the ability to stand even when things aren't going right. What Habakkuk was trying to get us to see is that even though things are not going always the way we want, and the things we depend on may not be working, they should not stop us from rejoicing and praising God. Because that's the only way things are going to turn around at all. If we are focused on ourselves and our problems, and so easily we do that, we're thinking all the time about my situation. You can come into the church wanting to worship God and praise God, but you've got this enormous problem that you're dealing with. And so right in the middle of the worship service, you get a flash of what's going to happen tomorrow. I know what I'm talking about because I've been there over the years. But Jesus said in Luke 21 and 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming onto the earth. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is false evidence appearing as though it is real. 1 John 4:18 says that fear torments those who are not made perfect in love. But when we love God to the extent that we really need to love God, and we put our confidence in the one who loves us, who died for us, amen, then that fear is gone. I remember just a year ago when my wife was in the hospital and she was going to go through a heart catheterization. I mentioned this a couple of times now. And they really said, well, it looks like right from there we're taking you in for open heart surgery. And I remember just before they came to take her down, my wife said, I can't explain it, but I have this peace about me. I just have no fear whatsoever. When you get to that place where you love God and you know you've done everything you possibly can, I'm telling you, God will replace any kind of fear and anxiety in your life with a peace that passes all understanding. And the more that we are in the presence of God and hear the word of God preached to us, the less chance of fear and doubt knocking on our door. When you're faithful, when you know you've done what you need to do, I'll tell you what, fear does not have access to you. There is this constant battle of staying focused on God and the people in scriptures that always got the victory in trouble and in battle were men like David and Job, who stayed focused by always talking to God. Now, if we're always talking to God, we're not in church all the time, but when we're always talking to God, when we're having communion with God, when we're in the car, when we're in the store, when we're on the job, you don't have to speak it out loud, but when you're having a conversation with God, it seems like then trouble just can't come because you know you're in communication. Got trouble? Keep talking to God. Both David and Job knew that they had done nothing wrong and that God would not allow them to go through anything that they could not handle. What we have to understand is God's not going to allow you to go through anything that he hasn't equipped you in order to handle. He's going to be with us. He's not going to let us alone. Paul said in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever thing were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope. So we have to have this comfort of Scripture. I can't tell you how many times I preached a message and somebody's come up to me and said, I don't know why all these other people showed up, because that was just for me, you know. As it dealt explicitly with my situation here, well, it's the comfort of preaching or scripture that says, okay, I know about your situation. I'm going to have the preacher address it directly to you, you see. And you say, okay, I know. Now I know. Anybody have any confidence in here? You see, Egypt wants to put you back in bondage. More taxes, longer hours on the job, take away the benefits, threaten you with layoffs. Hey, this is the same old hack in a new dress. There's always going to be those pressures that come. Well, what if, you know? My mother had cancer. I just know when I get to that age, I'm going to, you know, all of these threats that come onto you, and we're not subject to any of those things. We're not like other people. Exodus 1 and verse number 7, would you turn there, please? Exodus chapter 1, verse number 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, that they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasures, cities of Python and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. I'm telling you, the more trouble we go through, the more success we're going to have, the more miracles that we're going to see in the church. About 6 months ago, Sister Hefner, as she was worshiping there, I think I mentioned this before, she had a vision of a church right in that corner. The church looked identical to this church, and there were flames going up. And it looked like the whole church was being destroyed, but all around it was all of this new growth that was coming up. And the more we're afflicted by situations, the more we multiply, the more we grow, the more fruitful we become. And so don't get so uptight about some of the things that are going on in your life. It could be just a prelude to a great blessing that is coming just down the road. Psalms 20 and 6, David said, "Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with saving strength of his right hand." Now I know. Well, how did he know? Because he got into trouble and God came to his rescue. How do you know how great God really is until you get into trouble and then all of a sudden God reaches down and pulls you out of it or saves you or presents a miracle in your life? Church, we know that God has come to our rescue over and over. Why would we stop at this point not to have confidence and faith in what he can do? Amen. Last year, when we were in Cabo San Lucas, in the Sea of Cortez, there were these enormous humpback whales. They would jump up every 5 minutes, no exaggeration, and almost their entire body would be out of the water, and some of them were almost as long as the width of this church. They were just huge, and they would do acrobatics, you know, maneuvers, and whenever a ship would come close, a whale-watching ship, they would quickly swim over and do their thing in front of them. They just loved the attention. But one of the things that they did was the ability to sing, and they will sing with different sounds. But what is really unique is that the deeper they go, the louder they would sing. How about applying those attributes to our situations? If we get discouraged, maybe we ought to just sing a little louder. If we really get in deep trouble, maybe we ought to just sing a little louder. You know, Israel got to the doorstep of the promised land, but 10 people brought the entire nation of Israel back without getting the promise because they were too loud. So the people cast away their confidence in what God said. God has been telling us he's going to add to this church. God has been telling us he is going to heal the sick. God told us he's going to deliver. You know, but all we need is a couple who say, "Nay, it won't happen." We need to go forward. We need to claim the promises of God. There are giants in the land. There's giants' problems. There's no question about it. There will always be giant problems and giant situations in life, but if we cast away our confidence, we will never receive the reward that just may be steps away. What about tonight? How do you feel about it? God spoke to us. We had a voice from another world tell us that he's going to do these things. We felt the presence of God in our song service. Is it next week or is it now? The two on the road to Emmaus had lost all of their confidence because of the crucifixion. But after they spent just a little time with Jesus, their confidence was restored. Amen. Having problems, maybe you ought to just spend a little time with Jesus. Don't stay home. Come to church. Having problems? Spend more time with Jesus. You know, I know that sometimes any little thing happens and we're at the walk-in clinic or making an appointment with a doctor. So why don't we apply that to spiritual life as well? Any little thing that happens, why don't we just come right into the presence of God? Why don't we spend more time in church? Martha and Mary lost their confidence when Lazarus died. Oh, if you only had. But when Jesus came, they regained their confidence and received their brother. It only took a few minutes. Thomas said, "Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails and put my finger into the prints of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." What happened to the confidence that you had? What happened to, you know, following Jesus no matter where he goes? He almost threw away his confidence, but Jesus showed up. We need God to show up in our lives. When we have problems, we need to talk to him. We need to have him show up in our lives. Peter had just about lost his confidence, and he said, "Listen, I'm going fishing. I don't see this thing happening like he said it was going to happen." And there were a whole bunch of people that started to follow him after he had lost his confidence, until all of a sudden they saw Jesus on the shore and he was making dinner for them. How do you like the meal tonight? You see? If anyone had a right to throw away confidence, it was the woman with the issue of blood. "Listen, I've tried everything. I've talked to God. It just hasn't happened. Spent all of my money. I grew worse." She had been told, "Just forget about it. There just isn't any cure." Some of you have had the same situation. My sister was told, "No, maybe 10% chance." Now today, she's completely cured. Sister Berg, the same situation. But she knew there was a reward attached to the confidence that she had. "If I could just touch him, I know it can happen tonight." Oh, I know others have said, no, it can't happen. "If I could just touch the hem of his garment tonight." The same is true tonight, folks. The same is true tonight. If you just have a little confidence tonight, there is a reward. I believe there's a reward that's waiting for each and every one of us. But you can't have something else touch. Nobody else can touch for you. It can't be the preacher. It can't be the song leader. It's got to be you that has confidence to believe. Tonight's the night. It's going to happen. Somehow you've got to press forward to the mark of the high calling. It has to be you that does it. Hallelujah. How desperate are you for God? How much do you want it? Glory to God. I don't want to walk out of here knowing that my God could have helped me and he didn't help me. It wasn't because of lack of power on his part, but lack of confidence on my part. Hallelujah. Jesus. God, help us tonight. God, give us the victory tonight. God, we have faith to believe you tonight, God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. God, for the preaching of your word, Lord, for faith raising up in this place, oh God. If you can do it for the woman with the issue of blood, God, you can do it for us. Hallelujah. There's got to be some blind Bartimaeus is in here. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, Jesus. Tonight, God, fill someone with your Holy Ghost. Tonight, God, let us experience our salvation, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, do what you only can do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Have your holy way, oh God. My God, in Jesus' name tonight, Lord. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Jesus, Jesus.